It is so great to have everyone back. Welcome back to Carroll. Hope the break was wonderful, restful. Everyone ready for, are you ready for school tomorrow? Ready. Pencils sharpened, right? You got your first day of school outfit already laid out. Can't wait to put it on. Got your three-ring binders all labeled, each class, ready to go. Brett Rotz told me that he has his Frozen 2 lunch bag that he got for Christmas, and he's ready. He's excited. It's good to have you back. Listen, this feast that we celebrate today, the baptism of the Lord, it is the perfect feast for us as we begin this new semester and this new year here at Carroll, right? Why is it the perfect feast? Because this feast is all about identity. It's all about identity. And it's always necessary to know who we are before we begin to do something. And that's why it's perfect for us, to know who we are before we begin this new semester with all its responsibilities and all its duties and all the activities that we'll be about. To first be reminded of who we are. So who are you? It's a good question. It's a fundamental question. It's important to know that who we are is a primary question. Maybe you've heard me say it before. Agere seguitur esse, right? Latin. Action follows being. Action follows being. Who we are before what we do. And friends, if we don't take time to reflect on and to know who we are, then all of our activity can be so disparate and so disconnected and disintegrated. And then we just kind of flail around, bouncing from one thing to the next with no cohesion. So who are you? And how can you know who you are? You see, it's not an easy question, is it? Who are you? Because we always remain a little bit mysterious. Not even a little bit, we remain mysterious, even to ourselves. We're not just floating out here in the universe, disconnected to any meaning. We're definitely not the sum of our activities and accomplishments. But who are we really? Let's just take that on a human level, right? So, hi Mariah.
Hi.
I know you. How do I know you? How do I know you're Mariah and not Katie? We met at the stack. The stack at the St. Thomas Aquinas Commons. That's where we met. Not ever known by another name. You told me what?
I was Mariah.
Yeah. How did you know you were Mariah?
It's
what your parents told you. All right, just on a human level, friends, we receive our identity by being in relationship. We receive our identity by being in relationship. Mariah knows who she is because she was someone to someone else who loved her, who named her. It's so simple and it's so beautiful, but we don't think about it very much, do we? How much more should we know who we are by going deep into the primary relationship, the most fundamental relationship, even deeper than your mom and your dad's relationship with you, deep into our relationship with God. So for a Christian, who we are, which will then drive what we do with our short time on earth, is found by being in relationship, first and foremost with God Himself. First and foremost with God Himself. The Second Vatican Council, the document Gaudium et Spes, number 22, has a great statement about this. And the Council Fathers wrote, "It is only in the mystery of the Word made flesh that the mystery of man becomes clear. only in the mystery of the Word made flesh that the mystery of man becomes clear. See, we never get away from mystery. Don't ever try to get away from mystery. You don't want to get away from mystery. And mystery doesn't mean something that's utterly incomprehensible. Mystery means something that's so profound and beautiful you keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into it without ever exhausting it. So in the mystery of the Word made flesh, the mystery of the human person becomes clear. And see, the Council Fathers knew what they were saying when they said, the mystery of the Word made flesh. Because who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is lots of things. Right? He's the second person of the Trinity, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. And he's all of those things. But it's hard to know yourself in relationship to light from light, God from God, consubstantial with the Father. But the Council Fathers didn't pick any of those phrases. They said it's only in the mystery of the Word made flesh that we know ourselves. It's only in that mystery. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1. That makes all the difference. So today, we see the Word made flesh. We see Jesus being baptized by John in the Jordan River. Baptizein, the Greek, means to plunge into, to immerse. To plunge into and to immerse. And so Jesus is baptized today. We hear that. What does it mean for us? Well, here's the good news. The Word made flesh, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He comes. He takes on flesh. And he plunges right in to our human existence. He immerses himself totally and completely. He goes right into the human realities, all the human realities, including and especially our sinfulness. Jesus goes right in. Let's set the scene. Here's John who's baptizing. Who is he baptizing? He's baptizing sinners, people whose lives are not set right, people who have made mistakes, people who are making mistakes. And Jesus comes. He's the only one who does not need the baptism that John is offering, a baptism for repentance, a baptism of forgiveness of sins. He's the only one who doesn't need to be there, but he's there. And he's not just there observing from a distance. And he's not there standing above everybody watching them. He's there. He's right there, shoulder to shoulder, right next to those people whose sins he will pay for on the cross. He's right there because he's Emmanuel, God with us. See, this is Jesus who stands shoulder to shoulder with sinners. He doesn't have to be there. He chooses to be there. He wants to be there because he loves sinners. And so he loves you and me. So for any of you who maybe even right now tonight are like, man, I am not sure I belong here. My break was rough. Father wouldn't even know how rough it is. If he knew, he wouldn't want me here. No. Not true. Jesus loves you. He stands right next to you. He loves being close to you. He chooses you. He chooses to be with you because he knows you. And he knows that if he gets close to you and you start to get close to him, that you will know yourself, your deepest and truest identity. And that's the gift. Jesus goes right in. You see, he doesn't just go right in to take away our sins. He doesn't just do that. He goes right in so that he might share his life with us. That's the whole point. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. Well, what is that full life? A good life? A happy life? A peaceful life? A successful life? All that's way too little for Jesus. I came that you might have life and have it to the full. And the life he wants to share with us and share for us, open to us, is the life that he shares with his Father. That's the point. That's why Jesus came, and that's what baptism offers us. Not just a nice little sacrament, but a sacrament that completely opens up and changes all of our possibilities. Jesus, who shares his life with the Father, opens it up for you and for me, so that who Jesus is by nature, we could be by adoption. St. Paul says it, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, that is, Father. This is who we are. Beloved sons and daughters, in the Son. The same life that Jesus shares with the Father is open to us. It's wide open to us, all of it. All of it. But Jesus asks us to plunge into that, to immerse ourselves in it. That's what baptism means, to plunge into, to immerse. And friends, I want to ask you a question. Have you done that? Have you immersed yourself in the divine life? Or have you just dipped a toe in? Or dipped a finger in and made a quick sign of the cross? Called to go into it all the way, to be all in. Because if we do, then we'll know ourselves. We'll know who we are. What might keep us from saying yes and plunging all the way in? I think maybe sometimes we think we're going to lose something if we do, that somehow our life won't be as thrilling. Well, how thrilling is sin? How thrilling is being closed in on yourself? How thrilling is it to be afraid of what other people think? Jesus offers us a way out. We don't have to be afraid. If we know him, he who knows us, we can become our true and realest selves. We don't have to play a game to be accepted, and we don't have to be cool and look cool in front of other people. And by the way, I've been thinking about that. You know, like being cool is just another way of saying I need desperately to be accepted. Versus being authentic, which is another way to say I know I have been accepted and I know I am loved. Wouldn't it be great to live authentically instead of worrying about how we look to other people and maybe even to ourselves? Well, Jesus opens that gift to us to be authentic and real. He opens it wide and is here for us. We've got to do three things to live authentically. We have to receive, we have to give, and we have to fight. That's from Sister Bethany Madonna, great sister of life. We have to receive, we have to give, and we have to fight. We have to receive. See, we have to receive our identity. And guess where we do that deepest? In prayer. You see, prayer isn't figuring out problems, and it's not asking God for something so he'll give you what you want. Prayer at its core is knowing God, and then through him, knowing yourself. And so you have to pray. So at the beginning of the semester, you make time for prayer. You put it into your schedule. So you have to receive. You can't receive it any other place. Second, you have to give. You got to share your faith. Our faith is personal, but it is not private. And if you keep it private, it will shrivel up and die. It has to be shared. So you have to give. And then lastly, you have to fight. It's hard work to become yourself. It's hard work to live strongly in the deepest identity that God wants for you, because we all want to subvert that. We all want to opt out. We all want to settle for something less. So you have to fight. We have to do it personally. You have to decide, who do I want to be today in Jesus Christ? And then collectively, you have to decide, who do we want to be in Jesus Christ? Who do we want to be as a Catholic college? Because people will call us to opt out of that. Just be a liberal arts school, a nice secular school, right? But to do that would be to betray our very souls. And why would we do that? But we got to know who we are. We have to know it. We have to love it. And then we got to fight for it. How do you do that? You fight with great joy. The joy of knowing that you're loved by God, that he would do nothing less than to stand right next to you in your worst moment and say, I love you. I've given my life for you. Come with me and live a new life, live a new way. So friends, as we begin this new semester, may we say yes to the gift of life that Jesus Christ has opened to us. May we receive it every day. May we give it to others as we share our faith with them. May we fight for it, because there's nothing more important than young men and women who know themselves in Jesus Christ. So know your Lord and know yourself in him. That's the call today. That's the call of this semester. That's the call of our lives. Through him and with him and in him, become who you are.